What did we talk about yesterday? Did we talk about the reasons that Jerusalem is destroyed?
Yes, we didn't get to the seven populations.
Okay.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, what? People in Oxnard got a rude awakening this
morning. Oh, really?
Wow.
Can you sit by me?
Yeah, let's
go.
Well, what I'd like to do, which I thought I was going to do yesterday, is on the Monday of each of the weeks now preceding Rosh Hashanah, is to read the what's called the Seven of Consolation for that particular week. And again, everything is geared toward the understanding of the fullness of what happened when on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the birth of Christ. And so let's go to Isaiah 40. The seven readings of consolation for the next 7 weeks are, for anybody who's listening. It's Isaiah 41-26 for the first week. The second week is Isaiah 49:14-51:3. Third week is Isaiah 54:11-55:5. The fourth week, we go back to Isaiah 51:12-52:12. The fifth week is Isaiah 54:1-10. The sixth week is Isaiah 60:1-22. And the seventh week is Isaiah 61:10-63:9. And these are really incredible readings because they're all about the Messiah.
Is it like 7 weeks now till Rosh Hashanah, or is that the layout?
Yeah.
You're not going to get all nice and touchy feeling and stuff.
Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, the reason that's important is because we had a map that I used to point to. But the nation of Egypt is an eternal type of the world. And when the plagues hit you, then you cross the Red Sea in baptism and you go into the desert, into the Sinai. Now, the pathway that they took should have just taken them from Passover until Tabernacles to get to Jerusalem. But they got confused, and they spent 39 years encamped at Kadesh Barnea because who knows why. And so, when it says here, in Isaiah saying this, it says it in Malachi, and it says this is the fulfillment of the ministry of John the Baptist, where he said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. They're saying to you, you don't have to go through this crap anymore. It's straight. It's a straight shot. Right? You understand that? Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made low. The high places in your mind, because this is all in your mind, the high places in your mind shall be made low, and the valleys, mostly this is about self, your what do you call it? What's the word? What do people call about? Your self-esteem crap. your self-esteem. So it's neither high nor low. It's a straight, okay? And the rough place is plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together by the mouth of the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, how is that going to happen? How is all flesh going to see it together? How is this gospel going to be preached to every creature under heaven? It was preached to every creature under heaven. Every bit of flesh saw it on the day of Pentecost. Is anybody hearing me? Something's going on. Gary, it's you. I'm not saying there's a problem. I'm saying you're not. Your mind is somewhere else.
No, I'm really contemplating all of this. For real.
Sure.
I'm not outside or across the street.
I didn't ask if you're outside or if you're across the street. I asked you if you were at the same point.
I think so. I think it's somebody else.
Hey, all right. Great chance to book.
Well, I jumped a little bit on the all flesh, I see it together, because I still expect that there will be some dramatic Hollywood movie event where everybody will stop and look upward and see this incredible thing.
Yeah, they will. But that's when the end comes.
Yeah.
When you're either rising up to meet him in the clouds, or...
Yeah.
You won't know what hit you.
Or saying the rocks that fall. That's what came up.
I'll tell you what was happening with me is this is overwhelming, and you're kind of moving on. And I'm still overwhelmed at these valleys being made low, our eyes, and the mountains, and the rough places. I mean, that is just pretty mind-boggling.
The reason the mountains are made low and the valleys are made filled in is because the valleys and the high places are no longer your identity. Your identity is singular. For me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
There are no more. You don't have any more excuses for your little mommy beat me when I was a kid and daddy didn't love me and your whole inner child crap.
This high, low, flattening highway thing is the same as all things work together for good for those who are called according. It's like it doesn't matter that it appears to be a mountain. You're still flowing into it.
So, and this is only, you know, I can't lower the mountain. I can't raise the valley.
Yes, you can.
Well, this is God's work.
But you have... No. Let me know. Stop.
We have an impasse.
You lower the mountain and raise the valley by repentance. By bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. By never ever allowing your mind to say there's something to do or I have to do something or I lack something.
Right, but I don't think I can even do that. And that's why I say it's God's work.
That's why...
He does it in me or it doesn't get done.
But it can't. It won't get done unless you repent.
Of course, but the repentance is even...
That's why it says it's the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. Because preaching is supposed to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Repentance of turning totally from yourself. Not trying to grok it anymore. Not trying to wait for anything to gel.
Yeah, but he's just... Yeah. All he's saying is repentance is the gift of God. You can't... Repentance isn't a work. You can't...
That's all he's saying. Repentance is nothing more than integrity.
Yeah, it's surrender, basically.
Well, I mean, it's seeing correctly. Yeah. Seeing what you know, not believing the lies of your mind or society anymore. So
if
it's...
If you see correctly, it's...
Am I here? Are we here at the same place?
Well, all I'm saying is that's the gift of God. That's absolutely right, and seeing is the gift of God.
Right, but he's not going to occupy where you are. He can't fight your efforts. So as long as you want to keep on keeping on... You clear on that?
It's not an excuse.
Right.
Yeah, no, excuse.
But that's why I say mountains and valleys, those are big things that I don't have much power over in the flesh. A mountain is a big thing.
Well, you say to that mountain, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, Doesn't mean how big the grain is. It means the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. If you know who you are, then you say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it's gone. You don't have to struggle, but I don't have to be a mountain climber anymore. Some bitch is gone. Oh, there's a big, deep valley there, and I can't make it across. And you say to the valley, be thou filled up, and it's gone.
You command your soul.
You command your soul to be at rest. Because He is at rest. Because He is your life. There is nothing left of you. For me to live is Christ. I'm crucified with Him. We've just gone through, now we know the difference between living by faith in Christ, now we are living by the faith of Christ, so these things become dramatically true. If you're still back here living by the faith in Christ, then you have to deal with all this crap you see. Now can you understand why it's so important? Understand we are they, He's speaking to the disciples, that continue with Him in His test. You never have a test. There is never anything going on with Gary. Oh, I'm dealing with this thing. Then you're a fool.
Yeah, that's the fruit when you're in that place. That's the fruit that you repent of. That's
what. All and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, what happened? This again. We've just gone through the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab and between the straits. We've read the three of rebuke. We've read all of the stuff to see the end of the end of the end. And now, in 7 weeks, Christ isn't going to be born in 7 weeks. He was born.
Huh? Is it another 49-day deal?
It's about 49 days. What? 7 times 7 is 49.
Yeah. 7 completions of 7.
Yeah.
Fullness of time.
Yeah.
144,000. Amazing how that works.
Cool. Can we continue?
It's just amazing, all the coincidences.
What did you say, quinky dinks? You said that's what you said. He used to say that all the time. You did. Yeah, you did. And the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "It doesn't mean go cry in your beer. It means proclaim." This is the biggest. What I'm about to say next, if you can grok this, if you can capture what I'm saying, or if it captures you, then your warfare truly will be over. The voice said, "Cry or proclaim," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. The word of our God shall stand forever." If you can understand that no matter who it is, no matter what they're saying, no matter what is going on, all flesh is as grass. It's intended to be that way, and it's been designed to wither. And the glory, all of the glory, all of the plans, all of the, I'm going to be a one-man army for Jesus, or I'm going to be a soldier, or whatever. We used to give Harry a hard-on, spiritual hard-on.
I just saw, just before I came here, moments before I came here, I just saw one of my idolatrous childhood heroes reduced to sand. Buzz Aldrin was doing color commentary on the shuttle landing, and he is old and slow and confused and talking about
well, this is the way it was 30 years ago when we used to have horses take us into orbit, and it was just sad. He just needs to go to the house and be an old man. And this is a guy who I absolutely worshiped. And there he is.
Okay.
Fading.
Here, you got to hear this. The people are as grass. The best that you can think of, your glory, your ideas, your great plans, your hopes, your dreams, all of that is as the flower of the grass, and it all withers and fades away quickly. Why? Because the Spirit of God is blowing on it. So the next time somebody tells you, oh my God, I've got the anointing here to get rich, or to get fixed, or to fix the world, or anything else, you know they're lying, because the anointing never separates from the revelation of Christ, and the revelation of Christ never separates from all flesh is grass. Can you understand that? Now this is incredible news if you're tired, but if you're still living in your mind and creating these little worlds and ideas and what ifs and if onlys and, oh man, I got a great idea today, then this will be, and then the Holy Spirit's got to be your enemy some more. Now do you understand what I've been yelling at you for 30 years about? 33 years?
I got it. You know, with him sitting over there, it's like watching a TV show.
Johnny Carson and him.
Yeah.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the word of our God. The word of our God is Jesus Christ. I once, at a place where he was going to Bible college, I took a Bible, paperback edition, and I've said that. This is the word of God. Amen. Everybody yelled amen. And so stand forever. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand forever. Everybody, it was a charismatic school. And, went, rah, 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 rah. And I lit it on fire. Because this isn't the word. This is the pristine words about the word. If you don't believe me, read, it's all over the place, but Revelation 19 would be a good, John 1 would be good. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Now what high mountain are we talking to? The only high mountain that has any value is Jerusalem. Now that high mountain has overtaken all these other mountains that were the residence for the ark for a time. Now they're illegal because the temple has been dedicated. Now you can't go in, and if you understand what I'm saying, the temple is around you. It's your total reality. You're sitting in the Holy of Holies. And you can't even go into the regular kind of part of the temple with the intention of going anywhere else. You can't bring anything into the temple with you, even your little ideas, even your little problems. You have to, nothing can go into the temple with you. So going into the temple is a really dangerous place. It's the death of you. And if you see that that temple is your overriding reality at all times, that wherever your foot, as he told Moses, or Abraham, I mean, or Moses, he's wherever your foot, he told both of them, wherever your foot touches is holy ground, because it's holy because they're always in the temple. What? O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work before him. His work is assured. It's finished. That's what that means. His work before him doesn't mean he's got a plan. It means it's his work is already finished. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, that's the promise that's set before you. It's finished. It's over. Your warfare is over. So, who is telling you that your warfare isn't over? That you've got things to do and places to go? Well, 99% of it is the voices, these 70 elders in your mind. Their job is to keep you separate from this mystery. And some of you know a lot about it because you've heard me say the same thing now for over 30 years. And yet, but you got to go up. You got to go take care of this, and we got to go take care of that, and we got to go take care of this, and we got to go take care of that. And then we want a little house over here with a picket fence. We gotta save Trinity Foundation. We gotta get an idea that can really fix everything. What?
I don't like sitting over here. It would be nice to you. He wants tacos.
I'm always moved by the absolute declarative nature of this. Where when it's said, there's no wiggle room. It's not even a concept of wiggle room. It's so declarative.
Now remember, this was said just about 700 years before Christ's birth. That's pretty amazing. Okay, now, for those of you that want to give importance to something, now listen to what he says. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He's talking about all the waters of the earth. And meted out heaven with the span of his fingers. And who can comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure? And weighed the mountains in his scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Now, every single time you have an idea about what you want to do next, you're trying to be God's attorney or counselor. You understand that? And yet, here he's making fun of those. Right? Well, how can I live then? People have told me this for 30-some years now. If I did what you say, oh yeah, I'd just go sit in a corner. Well, you probably would, because you don't believe in the power of God. You have a form of godliness without his ability. You believe he's just a concept instead of your life. Well, except for me, I wouldn't go sit in a corner. I'd just go sit in a porch. Do you know how good it was reminded me by two of the elders' children that how good of a porch sitter I am.
Getting better.
It was those two.
I'm looking forward to the day room.
To the what?
Sitting in the day room all day watching Walker.
What day room?
The day room at home.
You're there. We don't have a day room.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Now, that's the whole, that's not just nations, that's the empires that existed back then. The Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. They're nothing. Well, if I'm a member of that nation, that makes me less than nothing. That doesn't sound very good. I'm either less than nothing or Christ is my life and I take no thought for my life. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. I love that one. And the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing, in vanity or emptiness. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth over with gold, and cast with silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot, one of those things. And he seeketh him, and to him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Now, you got to understand, this isn't talking about back then, this is talking about now. If you don't know what to do about something, then you're so impoverished, then you go talk to somebody and learn a how-to, and he's carving you a little wooden image that you can stick in your mind to say what to do next. Do you see that? Isn't that kind of dumb? You know what? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Okay, here we go. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity or fruitless or empty. They shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them. There we go again. And they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out the host by their number. He calleth them, he's talking about the stars now. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. That's the first consolation. Now remember, Israel was always this people. They were always getting screwed by somebody. They're like the most meaningless thing nation on earth. And so this was good news to them. It was good noise also. But let's go to Malachi real quick. We're going to go over time in a minute. I mean Micah. I said it again.
What chapter? You got there yet?
Chapter 4. Okay, this is what's read at the same time. Okay, ready? Jonah 4, 1 to 7. I mean Micah 4. Shut up. Josanna?
You need to join Buzz Aldrin.
She.
Are we doing community reading now?
No. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of all the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Again. I challenge any of you to flow into a mountain. The mountain here is the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And all nations are, and many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob. And that's what's happening. Many people are coming and saying, let's go up. They don't realize that the up is around them. The house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and he will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, which it has done. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now remember, this is now talking about his people, not about the world. Now, what, you remember, we studied this, the shares, the swords into plowshares.
Yep.
Plowshares are the digging instruments so you can dig in and see. And what are the pruning hooks?
To lop it.
It's so that you start seeing correctly, that you don't go to war in your mind anymore. There's never anybody else that's a problem. If there's a problem, you've turned your sword that you used to go and get mad at that person with into a digging instrument to find out what is the idolatry that's causing me to be angry. And their spears into pruning hooks. Neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, you're not going to be dependent on anyone else to get you're fed as if you're sitting under this perfect fig tree.
That's what hit me last week. It's an amazing image to sit at rest in the shade under a grapevine and a fig tree with food just falling on your head. It's amazing.
For all people that are therein will walk everyone in the name of his God. And we will not walk in the name of our Lord, the Lord our God, forever and ever. And in that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast afar off a strong people. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth and forever. Okay, two more verses in chapter 7 of Micah. 3 more verses. It's chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. What it says is, I shall behold whatever I see only his righteousness. Now that's pretty good stuff if you have ears to hear. Remember, the predicate of all this is repeated twice. Comfort ye, my people. Tell them that their warfare is accomplished, that in quietness and in confidence they shall be saved. Okay, that's the first of the seven consolations, or the consolations of seven. You can't be worried about anything.
Incredible thing to read and say right after the entire temple's been plowed and talk about extremes.
Alrighty. Take it, large person.